Hey, Freedom Entrepreneurs, welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sutherland, and today we are bringing you a fantastic guest. His name is Chaz Wolf. He is the founder of Gathering the Kings. That's his coaching business. But what we're really here to talk about today is how you can build a business around your family's mission. And I'm really excited to hear his insights about that because I think so many of us, we start this journey for one primary reason, and it isn't money. Oddly enough, it is money plays an important part, but really it's about building a lifestyle and it's about building a business that fuels our lifestyle so that we can spend more time with our family. So what if we could build a business around our family values from the beginning? That's what I'm excited to bring to you today. So let's dig in. Chaz, welcome to the show. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to this show on whatever podcast player you prefer and follow me on Facebook and Instagram. Hey friend, it's Lindsay. Pause with me for just a second. You're listening to this podcast right now, and maybe you've listened to a dozens or hundreds of episodes. Maybe you've just even done all the things. You've bought the courses, bookmarked articles, joined the Facebook groups, all because you know you need reoccurring income. It's something that's been weighing on you for a while. You might have heard me talk about it, the someday dream. Well, we're going to make this the today action. It's time to get moving. And here's the thing. You've got all the information at your fingertips. And the fact of the matter is, you don't need any more information. You're drowning in information. What you really are starving for is clarity. Everybody in the world is teaching you what to build. And YouTube is full of how-tos. But nobody is helping you figure out which one fits your business, your lifestyle, your actual audience. Which model makes sense for you? How do you know if people are going to pay for it? Where do you even start? Those are not questions that another podcast episode can answer. You, my friend, need clarity, and that's what I created for you. It's a free guide. It's called Earn 5K per month on repeat. Five simple steps that help you figure out what you should build to get that reoccurring income flowing. And it's not just what everybody else is building. It's what makes sense for your business. Because here's the truth. You don't need more information. You need to see your specific path forward. That is clarity. And that's what this guide does. So text the word freedom to 55444 and I will send it straight to you. Again, that's freedom to 55444. It's time to stop listening to all the things and start building. Okay, but definitely keep listening to this one episode, shall we? The point is, the next step is waiting for you in the guide. So take action, get that guide sent to you, and let's build something together. All right, back to the episode.
Lindsay, thanks for having me. I appreciate that. And you're right. This is an incredible topic, and I'm sure your audience is already so just chomping at the bit here to get us to talk about it.
Absolutely. And you are a serial entrepreneur. I'm sure you've had a lot of different systems and strategies you could dig into, but really I want to talk about, your story. Like what got you down this path and how does that tie into family?
Yeah, I mean, starting at the beginning, I was, raised by a single mom. So there were a lot of things that I got to experience, as a kid that maybe I shouldn't have, because I grew up fast and helped in many ways that maybe a son doesn't normally or shouldn't have to. But that doesn't mean that I would trade it. I learned all kinds of amazing things, including grit and never make excuses and never give up. And, all the things that come from just incredible work ethic watching her. And now, being married and having my own children, there's things that I get to do that I wasn't given, because I didn't know my dad growing up. And so, the legacy play, if you will, I think that there are lots of entrepreneurs that have a bigger why. There's always a bigger why than money, always. But there is a subset of entrepreneurs that are family driven, and really to the core of how we make decisions is, for our children, our grandchildren, God willing, our great grandkids, and just being excited about what that looks like, 100 or even 1,000 years from now. And we're not like everybody else, and so I think that there's a uniqueness in what we do, what's important to us, how we think. And some of those things play into what we'll talk about here today.
Definitely. It's odd. I was raised by my dad,
after my mom died when I was 12. So
Yeah.
I learned a lot of the same things from him, being he was a flooring consultant. He did installed floors, so, hard
Yeah.
work and so on. And it's really it's so true, because a lot of what started my brand was the same thing. It's like, I don't want to live my life on repeat. I want better for my family. And I think that is what a lot of people do. They get into whatever avenue they get into because they want something better. So what was that? I mean, what was the inspiration for you to kind of start? What was your first venture?
Yeah, first venture was, selling candy bars and that type of a thing door to door as a kid. And lawn mowing and scraping driveways of, shoveling or, snow and stuff. And, really anything I could do to make money because I realized early on that no one was coming to save me. And as like I laugh about that, but as a kid in survival mode, you either just kind of just sit down and kind of throw your hands up and say, well, I guess that's it. Or you kind of dig your heels in and say, okay, well, if it's up to me, then here we go. And so I just learned that maybe a little bit optimistic perspective of what's the worst case scenario is I can knock on a door and someone say no thanks. Yeah, so that kind of, fast forwarding, I'm turning 24, turning 25, actually purchasing my first, real business or big boy business. I bought a franchise, left my six-figure corporate job. I was not college educated. My family thought I was crazy for leaving multiple six figures, and like, until what? Like to start your business? What? And so that, yeah. I mean, there's just so many things that happened after that. But the mindset, the grit, the optimism that I've always had from those early beginnings, has served me very, very well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that answers your question, but
Well,
hopefully that gives
did
you
you
something to work
have
with.
a family at that time, or at this point you were just kind of like, because you're pretty young still, you may not have had a family. I didn't really
Yeah,
see
I was
that.
married, just no kids yet. My first daughter was born right after, so I purchased the first franchise and a year later purchased a second one, or sorry, 6 months later purchased a second one and 6 months later purchased a third one. So by the time the third one was being built, my firstborn was born. And so I remember actually, it was a home birth and then the next day I had about $150,000 worth of equipment being delivered.
Wow.
And so it was like, hey, are you guys good for a minute? I'm gonna go, which isn't ideal, but is what had to be done in that moment, So
Yeah.
yeah, the casting of work hard, but like unto a family was pretty early on, just because I was operating from a place of what I didn't have, and I wanted to be able to deliver something, like you said, to my family that I didn't have. The trouble that we get into, especially as entrepreneurs, because 85% of wealth is first generation. So all of our clients, for the most part, are first generation. They've kind of stumbled into this business or came from nothing, and they're the first ones in their family to have any sort of substantial amounts of money. The problem is that we start then developing this new path or this new life for our kids and our grandkids. And we skip them out on all the hard things. And what that does is it makes them entitled, And so to have this passing on this torch, if you will, but without the entitlement is really the tricky part. And that's the conversation that I have with a lot of our clients almost every single week,
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, let's get more into that. I was just curious though, when you did buy your franchises, were they all in the same franchise, or were they separate types of businesses?
Yeah, same brand, different locations. And so in that 4 years, I either started brand new or purchased. So I think I started four new ones, purchased three within a 7 year or 4 year period. I had seven locations, three states, about 70 employees or so. And that was all from like 25 to 29 years old.
How'd you juggle like having little kids at that time?
Yeah, I didn't do it well. That's part of my story now, which is, that the entrepreneur can still be intentional. It wasn't like I was a bad dad or a bad husband per se, but I very much was absolutely obsessed with my business. And I think that that's how entrepreneurs kind of are. Like that's just how God designed us, right? We're just all in. What I didn't realize at that time was that I A lot of people think you have to lower your obsession with your business so that you can create time and space and energy for your family and your health and your faith and all these other things. And that's just not the case. People like me, us all in crazy entrepreneurs, lowering my obsession with my business is never the answer because that's not who I am. Increasing my obsession with my wife, increasing my obsession with my children, increasing my obsession with my health has been the answer. And really what that looks like on a day-to-day, what does it actually mean? It means my intentionality. Like what am I thinking about and what am I doing every single day that pours into those areas of my life? So like early on, what I wasn't doing was being intentional about communicating with my wife, being intentional about, not working in on things that I didn't necessarily have to today that I could have just come back to tomorrow and then taking that time to be, with my kids. Again, it wasn't like I was a bad dad. I was definitely around, but I could have been way more intentional. And this is what we, coach entrepreneurs to do now, which is like, okay, so even in a building frame, like I'm building my business, I'm in that growth mindset where it's just like, it's taken a lot out of me. Like I need to like really press in. Okay, fine. I'm not saying that you need to spend less time over there doing that. What I'm talking about is increasing the intentionality with the family, the health, the mindset, whatever that you feel like you're not doing well. And the intentionality doesn't necessarily mean it takes more time. It just means more intentionality.
Presence too. To me, it's like children are so resilient. I find like my kids didn't need, because there was a, when I first got started, I was homeschooling and building my business at the same time because COVID and whatnot. But I noticed they just didn't need a lot of quality, like a long time of quality time, but they needed me intentionally being present with them, not distracted on my phone, not thinking about other things, not complaining because I'm tired, so let's just play checkers instead of get wild, like doing what the kids needed me to do. And if I could just pull out that last scoop of energy for that one really dedicated hour, it was like their magical moment.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and just to give you a practical thing that I've done in my life, like I've always put my kids down. I'm sure there were nights that I didn't, but generally speaking, like I've pretty much done it every night. That's been our part of our routine. That's part of my intentionality with them, even when I was busy. But what that looked like was early on when I was busy, it was like she got them completely ready and I like slipped in at the end and like kind of like, said the prayers and like kissed them goodnight and off they went. Where now it's like, I come home, we eat dinner, there's playtime, there's actual intentional presence, there's things that we're doing together. And then we go downstairs and have the same routine and all the things that we do together intentionally to build their mind and to build their faith and, the things that we do at the bedtime routine. But it doesn't take that much more time, to your point. But it's just like, okay, no, I've actually mapped this out. This is how I think I'm building my children, my time specifically. I'm not just playing the game of Uno or whatever. I'm like using this intentionally to like build character or to, to beat them. I'm like, my kids are in BMX. I love it when they get beat because then we get to have a conversation of what that looks like and feels like and what they want to accomplish next time and what they maybe need to do in order to improve. And it's just, I'm not trying to rob them of some of those hard times like we talked about with the entitlement a few minutes ago, but really just trying to intentionally build them as a human,
And I think too, like I don't know about you, but I know in my dad's generation, it was very much like this segregation between work and home. Dad did his work, now he's home. There was very little bit of like he didn't talk to us about his work. It wasn't until much later that my little sister actually started to work with him. That's how I kind of got my foothold. We took over his business after he passed away, but it was a lot of I don't know, very compartmentalization, I guess you'd say. And I think what I'm hearing you say is that you're kind of like figuring out, I don't need to be compartmentalized. I can build my family up within my company and the mindsets and the kind of grooming them, I guess you'd say, for entrepreneurism. Is that what I'm hearing from you? Is
Oh,
that
100%. The opportunity for you to not have your business be like a mistress. And that's just the thing that dad does over here in the quiet and nobody talks about it. It's like, no. Like the business sits at the table, right? And people hear that and they're like, well, wait a second. I don't want the business to take over. It's like, no. The business serves the family. But the kids should know how to celebrate what happened in the business this week or what the challenges are. Just like the business should serve the little kids' BMX team or whatever the scenario is. It should be they like it should just be sitting at the table with the family. They should all know their each other's names and the what happened this week and you know all the things. And so to your point, I think that integration is a great way to not only spend intentional family time, but then to build them. You know, like I'm not only bringing my kids into multiple of my businesses, but I'm helping them start their own businesses. My 9 and 11-year-old daughters bought a 8-location vending machine business about a month ago, and they are absolutely loving it. Now, there's some challenges, there's some hard things in there, there's some things that make them nervous and scared, and you know, like they're experiencing the full gamut of excitement and emotions, you know. But that's the vehicle, if you will, that we're using to build their mind and to build their character and to give them some of those harder moments so that way, you know, it's not entitlement that pops out on the other end, you know, because
Well,
their life is already so different.
no entrepreneur could be successful if they're entitled. Like, that's
Yeah. I
just
mean, it's
not,
just, they say
it does
that by
not
the third
get handed
generation,
to
wealth is
you.
gone, right?
Yeah. Like you, I think it's great that you're doing that. And I agree with you fully. Like that entitlement piece is very, very important, you know, for them to understand that. And a lot of times people are building that like by teaching your kids chores or like the basic stuff like that. But we're talking about wealth, and
Yeah.
when you hand a child a bank account upon your death that they've never seen managed, they could just go crazy and spoil it all in, you know, one generation. You're really teaching them the principles of wealth management because now they're seeing the
Exactly.
sacrifice from the beginning. I mean, that's really good.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So how do you I had a question for you. Now I lost it. Hold on just a second. It was oh, I was going to ask you if you have them working in any of your businesses, but then you said your daughter, your two kids have a business, but do you have positions that they're taking on, certain roles?
Yeah, we do. And so it depends on the business, but like my two daughters, they're old enough, they're 9 and 11, have been with me to the we still own one of the franchises. And so they've been down to the store with me and they've worked inside, you know, customer service and helping customers and dipping strawberries in chocolate and all the kind of fun things that go along with that brand. As far as like the coaching and stuff, we actually because we help family entrepreneurs and their families, there are several things that the kids get to be involved with there kind of dash naturally. But even in the construction business, like we talk about, you know, things that are happening inside the business, they're not involved in wearing a hat. That's a little bit more challenging of an industry with their age and just the way that I run that business. But they still know about it. They still know what we do, and we talk about the challenges and the wins and so yeah, it's a fun scenario to be able to kind of bring them in. But really, I guess they understand things before you think that they do. It's probably the best way to describe it. Even as toddlers, like I talk to my 3-year-old, not as she's three, because I know that she may not be able to communicate back to me fully, but she understands the things that I'm sharing with her. And so, you know, being able to talk to them kind of beyond their years, if you will, and they're interested in more than you think. They're a whole lot more curious than adults are. And they're wanting to learn, they're wanting to get in there. And so I just expose them to any and everything. They've got access to anything that they want with me. And to just even know that, like when I ask dad a question, there's no like dark areas, there's no shaded, like he's not going to share that with me. I think creates just like a bond between us that's going to help us then later in life be able to, you know, do amazing things together as well, you know, the trust factor.
Okay, this is a totally random question. It may surprise you. I don't know. Do you ever find your kids going and talking to other kids about what you do? And like, do you try to control that narrative at all? How do you navigate that?
No, I mean, yes, they have talked to kids. You know, they're probably the only thing I've tried to like help them understand to like curate in their conversations is like, you know, because they've just straight up asked me like, Dad, how much money do you have? And I've told them, here's the amount. And they're like, you know, eyes get big, you know. I'm like, but here's the understanding, right? Like, first off, this is not like I have that cash sitting in the closet, right? Like these are in assets and here's how it looks and some over here and some over here and some over there. And this is not typically something that we share with others, you know? But if they did, like what does it really matter, you know? And so yeah, so maybe a little bit, but generally speaking, I mean, we homeschool, you know, like you did for a little while. And so, you know, they've got friends, they've got connections from co-op and stuff like that, but like they're talking to other entrepreneur kids. And so the conversations truly are I hear them repeating things that I've told them with their friends, and they're realizing that, like, oh my gosh, our dads tell us the same thing, you know?
That's
Which it now
awesome.
normalizes the situation, you know, like, because we're
Yeah.
thinking the same, we're talking the same, you know?
I love it. No, I think that's fantastic. I love that.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. And then is this something that you teach with your clients?
Yes, we do. If we're working, you know, one-on-one with them, like in their family and their business, yes. Our group is a little bit more business focused. And then we do a family vacation each year. So entrepreneurs, spouses, kids on the vacation, we do a scenario where, you know, like we'll bring in, you know, speakers for the adults, you know, parenting, family legacy, marriage, you know, stuff like that. And then on the kids side, we'll do workshops for the kids around how to start their first business, how to make money as a kid, how to think, what success principles are, you know, stuff like that. And it's super fun. Like, we do challenges for the kids, we got prizes, you know. So that event itself, that family mastermind, as we call it, is something that a lot of families will find us for, like, initially because of all these things we're talking about. And then some of them decide to get involved a little deeper level, you know, as far as coaching in their life.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah,
Sounds
it
really
is.
cool
It's a
too. Yeah.
blast.
Well, and because it just you build up this community of people who are like-minded, and I think that then you can support up each other. It's like there isn't really enough, there's not competition. It's like you learn from each other. The kids
Yeah,
can learn
exactly.
from each other, the parents are learning from each other. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. For the kids to be able to create genuine, I mean, for adults to be able to create genuine relationships is, I don't want to say rare, but it's challenging. Like-mindedness, all the things you just mentioned. But for a kid to recognize that, like, oh, there's other people that live like us, because they know. In fact, there's a stat, I'm pretty sure it's Forbes. I have it in one of my keynotes. I can't remember. I think it's Forbes, but they say 1 in 3 children of entrepreneurs struggle with emotional regulation and basically things that come from stress. Where does the stress come from? The family business. And so we have to recognize as entrepreneurs that we're crazy. And the way that we live, the intensity of which we live, is in direct impact to our children. And so their ability to navigate those things, and then recognize that, like, because most likely in their current friends, especially if they go to a public school or even a private school, they don't have a bunch of other friends that are entrepreneur families. And
Right.
so their life looks different, sounds different, feels different. It might be feel isolating a little bit, feel odd or weird. You know, as an adult, we call that isolation or loneliness. But as a kid, I'm weird. You know, it's like, well, when I get you around other entrepreneur kids and you recognize that, like, oh no, this is just how entrepreneur families or successful families think and move and act. It's like, oh, this
Well,
is
I
normal.
think the biggest thing is like ambition. Feeling like the world is truly your oyster. It's not just
Yeah.
a phrase that gets said by grandma and you
Yep,
grow up
exactly.
to go to college or whatever and you get in your box. Like you really genuinely embrace that the sky is the limitness. And I think we live it. We live it, we breathe it. We're like, yes. But for the children, for them to do that, but then all it's also contrasted by the struggle, right?
Oh, yeah.
The When you lose a bunch of money, when something didn't go right, when you're super excited and they see you all pumped up and then it flops for the first
That's,
time, you know?
yep.
And to watch you get back up, I mean, they see all of this and it could be kind
Oh,
of
yeah.
like scary. It could be exciting. It could be, why do they do that? I don't know.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be
Yeah.
nicer? My kids have said, Mom, it'd be just much nicer if you had a job.
Yeah.
They're remembering back when I worked in the car business and I had really, you know, like the money was no problem and that like
Right.
it was miserable. I was miserable. I was dying inside. Like
Yep.
it wasn't
Yep.
good for me. It's not good for you.
Yeah.
But they just want that convenience and that stability and that assurance. And it's like entrepreneurism is not those things. But navigating that and teaching them that this could be. It's also interesting, I think, how many kids become entrepreneurs when their parents are entrepreneurs.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm
Well, so
curious, do you know
it's
the
what's
stats?
known. I don't know the stats, you know, but, you know, subconsciously, it's funny, actually. I'm thinking of a LinkedIn post. I stir the pot over there. People on LinkedIn are funny, but it's like, you know, I'm talking about college is a scam. I don't actually think it's a scam, but generally, there's some crazy stats around college and how it doesn't work for most people. I could break that down. There's a whole book I read about, you know, college being a scam. Anyway, all that to say, I'm over there stirring the pot, talking about college is a scam, and instead, here's what I'm doing with my kids, helping them understand entrepreneurship, how to create, how to think, how to own. Gave him the scenario of my kids buying that vending machine business a month ago. And you would have thought I was trying to, you know, bring down the American flag or something, you know.
Oh, yeah.
People, A lot of people were for it, but there were a lot of people that were just like, college, all the way. And it's like, look, I don't college neither here nor there for me. I want my kids to be able to think. And just going to college, because that's the quote unquote next step, is not thinking. Thinking requires curiosity and going, why do we do this? And understanding. So it's questions mixed with answers. And then you formulating, going, and this is me thinking, right? And then formulating my own decisions for my life. And I want my kids to be able to do that. And what I also want them to know is whatever their skill sets are, if my firstborn wants to be super organized and lead people, because that's what firstborns typically do. Fantastic. You can do that inside of a business. I can show you how to do that. My secondborn wants to be more creative and colorful and flexible. Great. You can do that. You can be an artist. You can be a music, whatever you want to do, but you can own your own business. Whatever it is, you don't need to go do it for anyone else, because you can think, you can create, you can own. And that's how wealth is generated, you know?
Absolutely. No, and that ability to speak their truth in a diplomatic way, I think to me is one of the values that I want them to have, is to be able to look at the status quo and say, not quite, and here's why, and be able to put some words to that, and then also march in their own direction without feeling like the pressure. That's really what a lot of entrepreneurs do. We do the opposite of what is comfortable,
That's right.
and society wants you to stay in a comfort zone. All in short.
Yeah,
Or
fit in this nice little box right over here for us. That'd make it real nice and easy for us to manage you. And it's just like, you know what? That's okay for all of y'all, I'm gonna go typically the opposite direction of the masses. I'm gonna ask a lot more questions than people like. And I'm gonna teach my kids to be able to do the same thing, There are no dumb questions in my house. Even when they've asked me the 17th time for the thing that I've already said no to, I always will respond with, I love your tenacity. I love your persistence. And then for like my 6-year-old who hasn't a clue what either one of those words mean, I'll say, do you know what tenacity means? Do you know what persistence means? And he'll go, no. And I'm like, I love the fact that you've asked 17 times. And the fact that I've said no 16 times hasn't deterred you. In fact, you probably don't even remember me telling you no 16 times already in the last hour. I love that about you, son. And he's just like, huh?
Yeah.
But I'm not talking to him consciously. I'm
Right.
talking to him subconsciously in that moment. I'm going, look, I love that you keep asking questions, buddy. I love that you don't take no for an answer. I love that you know what you want and you're going to just keep hammering at it until you get it. Now, my answer is still no. And I love you, but I love what you're doing. I love how you're creating this moment. It's annoying, but I love it because this is how you're going to create, think, create, and own.
When did you do you think, like, if you look back in your past, when did you develop this entrepreneurial spirit we've been talking about? Like, I know you dove into a young, like, I understand the order of events, okay? But there's something about, was your mom an entrepreneur?
No, she wasn't. And so I think it was the first like sense of it was just survival. It was I wanted something that I couldn't have, and I wasn't waiting for someone else to give it to me. Where I think most kids are, for whatever reason, because I don't know the psychology of that, is, like I want this pair of jeans, and so I'm going to ask mom and dad. And if they say no, then that's just the end. Or maybe I'll ask again, right? But that wasn't, I knew my mom couldn't afford it. So I didn't even ask. I just s tried to figure out how I could go get it. And so it's probably just a mixture of one, my design, just who I am, but then also just a mixture of knowing early on that like I was capable, and my mom has always I guess maybe built me in that way to say like I was doing my own laundry at 9. I was very much involved with survival things. My sister and I both were, because as a single mom, like she was working two and three jobs literally, so like. She couldn't do my laundry. She couldn't make my dinner every night. That would just be wild. She had to delegate. She had to empower us. And so I think it was just because I was capable and I saw that I could. And so why wouldn't I? And so like on the backside of that psychology is I'm super achievement based. I'm super, like things that I got to work through, of it's not my worth. But early on, it was like, hey, well, if I could show up in this way for my mom, then I got, kudos, or I got, checkpoints. And so, that I still think that generally I had to grow up early, and that made me think, or at least believe in a certain way. And I've taught this for, to salespeople and to entrepreneurs for a long time. It's like, once you look back into the cookie jar, if you will, be able to pull something back out of the history and say, well, if I did this, surely I can do this, And there's not this like like permanent thinking that a lot of times pessimists will, it's the reverse. It's like, well, I wasn't able to do that, so I'm definitely not going to be able to do this.
Yes, I like where you're going
And
with
the
this.
optimists are the opposite of that. It's like, well, that was that. This is this. Let me try it again. Or even better, I'm going to look back into my history and go, well, I remember when I was X years old and I did that one thing and that was kind of hard. If I could do that, then surely I can do this. And it also makes light of the scenario. It makes light of the, like, well, what do I have to lose? And I didn't have much to lose at the beginning. So why not? Let's just try. And I think that was just all the budding of what entrepreneurship is,
That is so cool. What an interesting gift and blessing in disguise. Like, did you have siblings? Do you have
Yeah,
siblings?
younger sister growing up. Yep.
Yeah. Did she follow in a similar trajectory, or did she kind of go a different
She's
way?
got a much quieter personality. So yes, from an angle of work hard, she became a dental hygienist. And she's actually the first college grad in our family. I'm still not college educated, have no intentions to be. But she's, dental hygienist, makes great money as a single gal, and does her thing. She takes her money and invests in our properties and stuff that we do in real estate. And so yeah, like hunger, but not like going out and doing her own thing,
That's cool. I love it. I just think it's so neat. The reason I asked is because it's like, I think about that. My sister and I, we came from a similar, obviously, upbringing, parents, same situation. Mom died, the whole thing. And then we just became such different people. And just, it's always just so intriguing to me. And I've got four kids, and I look at them and I'm like, I can kind of see how they
Oh
each
yeah.
are like a product of us, but in their own way. It's so
In their own way.
fascinating. I just love it.
Yeah, we use with our clients, we use the predictive index to help kind of understand like their personality, drivers, if you will. But I know it so well, and I can see it in people, like what you're talking about. I can look at my kids, and even though they're younger, and I'm starting to pick up little things that are just, if the hands were off, I had no. This is probably what's going to naturally happen on their own. And that's great. I think they all deserve to be their own individual. Like, I'm not trying to create robots. But what I am trying to do is say, okay, well, how can this individual, my firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn, whatever the scenario is, whatever your personality is, how can you stand on my shoulders? And that doesn't mean that your life's going to be easy, right? At all, in fact. In fact, you're going to come up against challenges that I haven't been able to yet because I haven't gotten to the level that you're even going to get to. I remember, like, there's probably maybe 4 months or so ago, I'm in my home office, and my 11-year-old comes in and she's looking at my dream board. I've got a bunch of stuff up there that says $100 million, and she's like, "What's up with the $100 million, Dad?" And I'm like, "Well, that's the number that I believe that I can get to for our family net worth before I die. And if I don't, I know that you'll be able to before you die." And she's like, "Okay, like what does that mean?" And I'm like, "Well, basically, I'm creating a portfolio of these different companies." She's like, "Yeah, we've talked about that." But I'm like, whether it's businesses, whether it's real estate, whatever it looks like, there's gonna be things that I bring you into, and you and your siblings, and you guys are gonna, whatever it is, you're gonna take it and expand it. And if that means, buying and selling or growing, whatever it looks like, whatever the portfolio, whatever the family office looks like, I need you to know how to take it and think and grow." And she's like, "Yeah, okay," like not really grasping anything regarding $100 million, but it's like, that's where we're going right
But you
there. And
know
even being
what?
able to
It
talk to her.
doesn't matter that she grasped it or not, because I'm telling you, just from my own experience, like, heaven forbid something catastrophic happened and you couldn't be there to help continue that mission, that would be the first thing she would remember.
Oh yeah.
You
Oh
know,
yeah.
she would just know, and she would totally make that her life mission. I speak from experience on that. I totally get that.
Yeah.
That is so fantastic. I love that. I have one of my kids is kind of budding as our primary. I mean, this kid found, he was on his device. I think it was an Apple Amazon tablet, and he had found my old library of Amazon books. I used to subscribe to Audible. Now I I'm on Apple, so I'm doing them over on Apple.
Sure.
He heard the book Big Money Energy with by Ryan Serhant, and he just
Okay.
started listening to it, and he starts talking to me like mom, and he's like going on, and he dresses in a leather jacket going to school with his
Love
fake watch that,
it.
but he goes, it's I wear it because I feel, he's like, I'm leaning,
Yes.
I'm feeling the energy. I'm like, yes, you're my
Yes.
kid, like you're
I
the one,
love
he's the one. All my kids are great, because that's what I was gonna say. It's like you
Yeah.
could almost see their personality, and like, let me
Oh, yeah.
teach you how to take what's already your gift and make it like, my
That's right.
oldest is amazing with tech,
Oh, yeah.
and he's definitely much more comfortable with just like work. He wants the freedom to work anywhere in the world, and he's brilliant. He has no idea even how smart he is. But if I'm like, if I could just say, like, I talked him out of going to college. His best friend's mom was pushing him to for them to go to college together. And
Yeah.
granted, she's my dear friend, so it wasn't
Sure.
anything. It was
Yeah.
just like, I told him, you could go to college and you will love it. Like, he's that kind of kid that would just, the experience would just be for him. It would be awesome. Like, you would love it. But you also don't have to go to college. And if you're going just because she's telling you to go, I want you to do it for you. Like, you
Yeah.
have to go for you, or I'm not paying for it.
That's right. That's right.
Because
That's right.
like, otherwise it's just not worth it. So
Yep.
anyway, he's decided, he's kind of got his own plan. He's like, he wants to end up in Japan. He wants to like work from anywhere. And I'm like, and you
That's so
can,
cool.
you know, I love that.
For him to be able to think on his own like that is such a gift that you're giving to him. So well done, Lindsay. I think that, for a young man to first off, have clarity on what he wants. I've read and taught on the book of Think and Grow Rich for many years now, and it all starts with desire. If you don't know what you want, the rest of the success principles don't matter. You can persist all you want. But unto what would be my question? Where are you headed? And so, for you to be able to help him clarify that not only what he wants is the most important, and then literally the rest is noise, those two principles that you strengthened in him, and that is absolutely incredible and such a gift.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so tell me about gathering the kings. What is the principles of your coaching business?
What the heck is this? Well, we started as a peer-to-peer mastermind, where like-minded, like you mentioned, like-minded, grateful but not done entrepreneurs come together and help each other win. I use the phrase grateful but not done because there is a uniqueness when someone is humble enough to know that I can be in this moment present, like you talked about, and be able to look back at all that we've accomplished together with other people on your own, culmination of all those things, and to just feel a deep sense of gratitude and go, whew, this is amazing. And in that same moment, recognize that there's so much more potential left. And I think that that gratitude in that moment really is the differentiator between striving and thriving. And so the folks that we attract really are these, family driven, grateful, humble, but super growth minded. This is unique breed of entrepreneur that wants to be around other people that are like them. And so that's how we started, getting people together, talking about growth, in of course their business, breaking down business into systems, sales and marketing and operations and finance and mindset and team building and all the things that develop, an incredible business that ultimately becomes a machine that allows you to do whatever you want in life, right? Again, for us, we're family driven, like you said at the beginning. So we're building these things, these machines, these businesses unto, family legacy and wealth and wanting to spend more time with our family, not less time. More time, optimizing our health and our mindset and our faith and our marriages and things like that. And so that's generally, the concept there is winning in all areas. And so we do that obviously, inside of a virtual community. We've got an app. We do, live Zoom calls. We do a couple of events every single year. The family component is what definitely what makes us unique. We're all family driven, but then the family vacation that I mentioned, a few minutes ago, we do that once every summer, and we've done that. This will be our fourth summer coming up here, and it just is so rewarding to see families come together, almost hesitant of like, I want this to be true. You told me, Chaz, that there's going to be like this deep sense of presence with my own family, stepping away from the business, stepping away from school, stepping away from the day-to-day grind, and being able to like see each other uniquely, being able to learn, like from different presenters on the adult side. Of course, my kids being able to learn and not just being left at the hotel room, but like being involved. And then of course, meeting these other families that are like us that we're going to like build lifelong relationships with now. Chaz, it sounds amazing. And so they come and they're like, is it true? And then they have this week-long experience where they're just like, oh my gosh, you didn't even sell it justice. You should have told me it was 10x better. You should have charged me more for it as well, is typically
I
the
believe
response.
that there's something powerful that comes when you are in the space with people who are empowered and believe in empowering others. Like I like, for example, I like that the name of your company is Gathering the Kings. It's automatically assuming the kingdom within each person rather than saying grow the kings. Like there, that mindset of coming in like on this level, and we're going to get to this level. You're like, no, here you are, and I'm just showing you we're uncovering your what's
That's
in
right.
there already. Like, you're
That's right.
speaking to the truth of that. I love
That's
that.
right. That's
Yeah,
right.
no, I think
That's
that's
right.
so good. I want to introduce you to somebody. She's got a podcast. I think you guys would be a good connection too. So after we're done,
Perfect.
I'll do that.
Love it.
No, but it's true, and I think that's fantastic. I have to ask, do you guys go to the same place every summer, or do you pick a new place?
We have so far, we have picked a new place. Obviously, there's logistic challenges with
Yeah,
that.
I can imagine.
And so we are, at least maybe thinking forward, maybe the same brand, maybe not the same location exactly, but my initial thought, originally was that we would travel the world together, like the same families every single summer will travel the world together. And although that sounds nice, to be able to host an event, there is just things that, my team shows up and we're like, geez, wish we would have known that. Wish we would have known that, And then, so there's some, we're learning as we've grown dramatically, that there's just some things that would be helpful to us.
Yeah, for sure. I can imagine. No, that just reminded me of somebody else I think I should introduce you to that will help with that. But no,
Sweet.
that's pretty cool. I think that's fantastic. Where's been your favorite place so far?
Ooh, good question. So far we've been to Bermuda, the Dominican Republic, Cancun, and this next one we'll do will be in Riviera Maya.
Nice.
And so, I think that families in general are looking for, a warm place, kind of a beautiful beach, even though I like the views of the beach, not necessarily to put my feet in the sand. I like to look at it. I don't necessarily want to go there, but and more than anything, the feedback that we have gotten time and time again, especially because we've had families come with us every single year, of like, like, hey, where do you want to go? Or what are some other ideas? And they're just like, dude, it actually doesn't even matter. Like, what you put on is so powerful that at this point, you tell me where we're going. In fact, it was so funny because after the Dominican, this past summer, we had 32 families, about 150 people with us. So of the 32 families, there's close to 20 that are already registered to come back with us, I believe, something like that. Maybe it's 15, I can't remember. And the rest of them are just like looking at their calendar and stuff. As it wasn't like a no thanks, one and done scenario. It was just the 15 were ready to like pay a deposit for next year. They have no clue
I'll
where we're
make
going.
my calendar happen around the event. Right.
Which was just so inspiring for
That
me,
is
even
awesome.
as the founder. It's just like, wait a second, that there's that many people who are like, yes, and wherever it doesn't matter, whenever it doesn't matter, just let me know.
Right. I
Pretty
love
powerful.
that. Man, that is so cool. That's inspirational to me. I'm like, I have a few visions. You've given me some things to noodle on. That's awesome.
Good.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much. Tell people where they can find you and connect with you.
Yeah, gatheringthekings.com is the website. Of course, they can find me personally, Chaz Wolf, on Facebook or LinkedIn. That's where I'm probably most active. I'm on all the other platforms as well, but that's where you'll talk to me personally. I'm most active there. But yeah, I think that just connecting with us just to see we're definitely not a, it's a highly curated environment. Let me say it like that. So if you're thinking that some things I've said is maybe interesting to you, a phone call with us would be just that, a connection call to make sure that we're a good fit because I can convince anybody of anything, it feels like, with my sales skills at this point. And I'm just so not interested in doing that. The curated space is just so, so important to us.
Amen. 100%. I agree. Awesome. All right. Let me thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Go check out Chaz's website. And if he's anything we've spoken about resonates with you, I pray this whole thing transforms your life. What a great conversation.